I want to make this interesting for Brother Jason, so I'm going to try to turn at least twice. But Exodus 25 is where we're going to take our beginning text. And I don't really have a subject, I don't have a topic, I don't have an outline, I don't have illustrations, but I do have the Word of God. And so I hope that's not boring to you. I find a lot of people find it incredibly boring to read, to hear the Word of God. It's because Jesus Christ is not in them. He's foreign to them. They know religion, but they don't know Him. When you know Him, religion won't matter too much. Church will change. It won't become a formality, as Brother Rose said. It won't become like his son. It won't become something you dislike. It'll become a part of you. It'll become a part that's ingrained in you. You can't help but want to be in the house of God. In Exodus 25, in verse 31, "And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft, and his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same." And that is Psalm 119, 126. "He is despised and beaten small. I am despised and beaten small. The six branches shall come out of the sides of it, three branches of the candlesticks out of the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds, with a knop and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knop and a flower. So in the six branches that come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds with their knops and their flowers. And there shall be a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same. According to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick, their knops and their branches shall be of the same. All it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light." And I want you to notice this little phrase, "over against it." But God made a candlestick for one purpose, that it might be seen.
Yes.
He put seven lamps upon that. And of course, each one, six coming out of it, three on each side, one in the middle, bowls of gold filled them with oil, and then the lamp of God was lit. Lit. It's a good Tennessee word, lit, Brother Rose. The purpose was solely this: when you walked into the tabernacle of God, the first thing you saw was that candlestick. The light was given under the candlestick. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews, if you would. And let me just say this on the outset. There's more than games, and I don't mind games. There's more than winning. And I don't mind winning, but if you get distracted by taking notes and you're not listening to the message, you need to put your pen down and listen to what God has to say. I watch people bury their face in their notes, and a lot of times it's deliberate. I know a young lady took every note under the sun in church, and you'd ask her 2 months later, didn't have to know the first thing about the Bible. Amen and amen.
Right.
So I'm going to give you, I'll tell you what you need to write down, because I'm going to tell you what Brother Jason's going to ask. Okay? Gold. Candlestick. Exodus. Amen. Brother Jason, here's the next question. Hebrews 9, in verse 19. "For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without shedding of blood is no remission." Notice verse 23, It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Verse 23 said that it's necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens. What is a pattern? It's a guide to make a replica. That's what a pattern is. And so the guide, the pattern is heavenly. God gave a pattern, it was replicated on earth. And what the Word of God says of that is this: the figures of the true. Now, why does he use the word figures? This earthly tabernacle, much like our earthly tabernacle, is temporal. At Shiloh, God forsook the tabernacle which he had placed in Shiloh. So this was a temporary abode. This was a dwelling place of God on earth, a shadow of that which is in the heavenlies. The pattern was replicated on earth, and it's a figure of that which is in heaven. And on earth, in the midst of that tabernacle, is a candlestick with seven lamps and seven lights. And he said the purpose to light those lamps is this: to give light over unto it. To light that candlestick. To give light unto him. If you will, let's go to the book of Revelation. Look at a couple of things in the book of Revelation, the early chapters. Revelation chapter 1, and I'll read verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Revelation, again, chapter 4 and verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 elders, 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And notice this, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. What are they giving light unto? Somebody help me out. They're giving light unto Jesus Christ. Seven spirits of God before the throne of God are lighting the throne of Jesus Christ. Chapter 5 and verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. And by the way, that man of sin, that son of perdition, the beast, will try to replicate that to the best of his ability. Because everything Christ does, he's mimicking.
That's right.
We have godly music, we have everything else. And you can just go ahead and quote me on that and put it on Twitter like somebody did years ago. I made a statement, preacher, said you have sacred music and everything else, and one of these anti-Bible believers that mimics the Bible believer in a Baptist college took that and put it on Twitter and was mocking and scoffing. But can I say to you, there's sacred music and there's everything else.
Amen.
There's Jesus Christ and there's everything else. There's godly apparel. Now bear with me on this. And then there's the gray areas. Knees, shoulders, heads and shoulders, knees and toes. Anyway, well, I won't. There's godly apparel and there's everything else. There's godly language and there's everything else. There's country music and there's everything else. Sure there is. There's rap music and there's everything. I said there's sacred music and there's everything else, and they pitch a fit. You know why? Because around the throne of God is holiness. That man of sin cannot replicate holiness. That spirit of Antichrist, which is in the world today, cannot replicate holiness. He can replicate church. He can replicate good singing. He can replicate a lot of things. He cannot replicate holiness. It'll be an unholy thing. It'll be uncleanness. The worship today is unclean most places. I said the worship, the book they carry is certainly unclean. The songs they sing are unclean. The girls singing are unclean. Can I make an observation? Why is it the prettier the girl, the more people shout? Just one. I've wanted that for a long time. I've noticed the shorter the skirt, the more they shout. Could it be we just feed on carnal impulses?
Yes,
amen. Hey, listen, I went to a church, the lady had to move her belly to sit down at the piano bench. Nobody shouted when she sang. Could it be we're just feeding that Antichrist spirit with our carnal desires and our carnal wants because we don't care about pleasing God? Go out and find the Baptist top 10 so we can find songs to sing because the hymnal's not good enough. You can just say amen on that. Go find the Baptist top 10. What are they singing at the meetings? What's popular? You know what it is? Because they're easier songs to sing. And so we make them sound. So we'll see why. Because these are easy songs. I'm gonna just hit a pet peeve now. You say you shouldn't preach your pet peeves. This means the only one the entire week. Practice.
Amen.
Learn how to sing. Sure. I hear all the time. Preacher, I can't sing that song. It's too high for me. Open your mouth. Preacher, I can't do this. Practice.
Right.
You think you learn how to play the piano by instinct? Yeah, it's a little pet peeve of mine. I'm watching a generation go away with music because they're too lazy to pick up the instruments, too lazy to learn how to sing, too lazy to practice, too lazy to go get voice lessons, too lazy to take piano lessons, too lazy, 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 lazy. They want to come to them instinctively. We had a man come to Youth Week this year. I invited him. He's a friend of ours from Maine. He took 11 years of voice lessons. You say, did it help him?
Good.
Come to Youth Week, find out.
Yes,
go to Maine with me next weekend and find out.
Yeah.
First time my wife and I went there, he's leading the singing. He starts singing, Come Thou Fountain. My wife and I are just sitting there going,
yes, that's right.
Yes, amen.
Right.
11 years of voice lessons. And then people go, man, he's a tremendous singer. Well, you could be too.
That's right.
But the problem is we don't want God to get the glory. We want the glory. We want to be seen.
Right.
Used to watch them kick their shoes off when they sang so people see their painted toenails. And they expect me to not blow it out when I got up there. Sit down at the piano and got to pull their skirt down. It's about 4 inches too short and expect me not to say anything as the preacher. I tell you, Our music is damning our children. It's doctrinally unsound.
That's right.
It's carnal. It's fleshly. The approach is fleshly. The approach is carnal. And nobody wants to say, boo him out.
Yeah.
I was down there in Florida. And I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you the truth. I was down there in Florida, down at church Brother Vernon used to go to many, many moons ago. And I was down there preaching. I had a new pastor. And brother, this little girl got up there singing and squalling. It's about, I don't know, just a teenage girl, 14, 15 years old. And the more she cried, the more her skirt hiked up. And she said, I mean, you could see it. And I mean, all the men up there shouting. I mean, weeping. She's in one of the most carnal, fleshly songs that they sing in the Baptist top 10. He knows my name. If you sing it, you just listen to this preacher. I don't care if he knows your name. You better know his name. You can just say amen on that. I said, you better know his name. There's a name above every name.
Know him.
Oh, it's all about me today. You say, that's just a little pet peeve of yours. Well, they were trying to hijack the service. They wanted to go, we didn't even have any preaching. It was so good at the singing. And I said, God forbid a little girl take over the service and all these carnal men shouting. So I waited about 10 minutes. I looked at the pastor and said, brother, can I say a quick word? He's like, go ahead. He's crying. Go ahead, brother. I said, does God know your name?
Aye.
But do you know his name? I preached 30 minutes in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, don't let that bother you. Don't let that bother you. Talked about your Baptist top 10 song, but I've been grieved every time I hear them up there squalling it. Raise their hand the same place on the second verse every time. Exact same place. Could it be it's repetition, not God? Could it be we practice a performance and not practice with God? Could it be we're up here making a show and not seeking God? They want the shout to drive the service. I've watched it. Guy sneaks in once in a while. But only when people really shout it, so you can't hear it. They want the shout to drive the service. They go, oh, we met with God. I thought it was a still small voice, but you have to excuse me for misunderstanding my Bible. I thought he spoke in a still small. You know when God spoke to me more than any time in my life? When I've been in the secret place in quiet and I can listen and hear the voice of God. Now listen, you can ask some men that know me. I'm not against shouting. I'm not against running. I'm not against going ahead. If God shows up and manifests his presence, hey, I'll stand and shout and rejoice and weep. And I'll just do whatever God has me to do to worship him and to honor him and to praise him. But that doesn't drive the service. You go to camp, he's ready to shout.
Right.
Poised to shout. You don't go to churches anymore, the professional singers. You know, so some of y'all, you say, this is just a pet peeve. We'll get through this, get to the message in a minute. They sing that song, preachers keep preaching, singers go sing. Do you know who wrote that song? A singer. Because only a singer would tell people to go sing. A pastor would say, stay in your local church.
Right.
Would help myself here.
Amen.
Singers go, what does he say? A man that doesn't even attend a local church.
Right.
And they go, they sing. Singers go sing. Go sing the gospel. I heard him say, God called my family to sing the gospel. No, he's never called anybody to sing the gospel. He calls men to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And to please God through the foolishness of preaching. Through the foolishness of preaching to save them that will believe.
Yes.
We're letting the cart drive the horse. We've manifested religion.
Yes.
And that spirit of Antichrist is so prevalent. And people say, that's God.
Oh, boy.
And they're mighty bored during the preaching.
Yeah.
I contacted one place. They record the services. I watched the service live. And I said, glory to God. I went to find it the next day. They had Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night. I said, where's that good Tuesday afternoon service me and my wife watched? Oh, the preacher said stuff they didn't like. So what did they like? They liked that night service, about an hour and a half of singing and shouting, the professional musicians up there. Hey, that's the professional musicians, people making money, traveling around selling CDs, amen, filling their coffers while the preachers are laboring to try to find meetings, and people going traveling 40 weeks a year to churches singing the gospel and filling their coffers, selling CDs and traveling the road, announcing a call to sing, and they'll shout for an hour and a half at that garbage.
Yeah.
You say you're just bitter about it. No, I'm not bitter about it. I am doctrinal about it.
Right.
And that's in local church doctrine.
Yeah.
We've gotten so far from that.
Yes.
Listen, I'm not against a good family coming in singing a song like they sang.
Good.
But the second they go by a Prevo bus, amen, fill it up and slap their name on the side and got a CD table in the back, when they start to end up here singing, I'm going to be in the bathroom, excuse me. I said, I'm going to be in the restroom, excuse me.
Yeah.
I've had people come up to me and say, "Preacher, here's a CD we made." And I go, "Oh, there's some doozies out there. I could give you something to listen to. You'd be holding your ears." There's some people, I've heard people go, "Why don't you make a CD?" And I'm in the back there going, "Please don't." I'm not trying to be mean about that. One girl gave my wife and I a CD. And I mean, she got hair covering, dress on, big pretty smile, you know. And I put that CD in. We're like, 3 minutes from the church? And the first thing you hear is, "Bow, bow, wah, 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 do, 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 do." I went, $500 fine. Who's going to catch us? Amen. I gave one preacher friend of mine a CD. I said, "I think you all will enjoy this. I did it on purpose to him." He thought I was serious. He called me the next day. "Brother, about that CD." He goes, "Well, I got to be honest with you. My wife and I threw that in the fire." That's where a lot of your CDs ought to be. That's where a lot of your music ought to be. You say, "Oh, you just preach your pet peeve." Speaking to yourself in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Amen. Not putting on a show of the flesh.
Right. Amen.
Not trying to be a superstar.
Right. How about
it? Well, I remember the days you sing before microphones. But now, because they don't take voice lessons, they don't practice, they can't sing loud enough to be heard without a microphone because they're all sensual eating the microphone.
Yeah, you said it.
Now, if we're raining on your parade, just put your umbrella up. You'll be all right. Amen. We'll make it through. We'll preach. We'll do some Sunday school teaching in the morning. It'll make it all better for you. With the music goes the church. With the music goes the doctrine. With the music goes perdition. Are you listening?
Right.
Hear people say, we got so-and-so coming to our church. And I just throw my hands up because I know. Because with that music, they're gone. With that music, they're finished.
Yep.
With that music, they're on the shelf. They say, "Well, don't you know so-and-so? His daddy was a Baptist preacher." I want you to look at the preacher. Look up here a second. Can I tell you somebody whose daddy was a Baptist preacher? Does anybody know Franklin Robert James? Frank James? His brother Jesse?
Right.
You got helping anybody? Jesse James? Uh-oh. James Gang? Franklin Jesse James? Bank robbers, murderers, Wild West?
Right.
Out of the state of Missouri? Their daddy was a Baptist preacher.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay on that?
Yes.
Well, brother so-and-so, his daddy was a Baptist preacher. Hey, listen. Next week, live at the Altman Baptist Church, Frank and Jesse James, their dad is a Baptist preacher. Kids, here's how you shoot. Imagine the carnival. That's all it is. I had preachers ask me, say, "Brother, could we use an old wrestling from your, or photo from your wrestling days and, you know, kind of try to get some young people to come?" You know, I've said 100% of the time, no. I said, no. It's just not about that. If I told you how pathetic my career was, I mean, they wouldn't show up anyway. I'd be just foolish. A big, lousy wimp, can't walk, can't lift my arm above 90 degrees. You know, I'm going to just talk tough. Today at Altman Baptist Church, I'm going to tell you something, brother. Brother Randy texted me a couple years ago. I preached for him as a substitute for him in the church. And he'd been real sick and asked me if I'd go preach and open up the revival, and he came in later in the week. And they started announcing on Sunday morning. They said, "Hey, Friday night the McCamey's going to be here singing." I just texted Brother Randy on Friday night about 6 o'clock and said, "I'm praying for you, brother. Preach the devil out of that crowd."
Amen.
Amen. Yep. Woman preaching. Amen. You just say amen on that. He said, "Where's the message?" I don't know. We're struggling here, okay? I can say a lot of things about this spirit of Antichrist. I've already said a few things. Some of you can't take what I've already said. Let me tell you where it creeps in. When you start listening and looking and seeking outside your local church.
Amen.
YouTube preachers.
Yeah.
right.
Hey, I know a good evangelist. Yeah. Some of you might know the name Stephen Anderson. He's a heretic out of Arizona. He made a name for himself on YouTube before he destroyed himself. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Made a name for himself. Listen, I said name for himself on YouTube. I've met his convert. I've had fights with his converts in churches. You can ask my wife. I've had heated arguments with his converts in churches because they don't know God, don't know the first thing about God, but they worship a man named Stephen Anderson.
Right.
He's a YouTube star. I say he's a YouTube star.
Right.
And I had a good evangelist friend posted a comment. Didn't know any better. He said, I guess he watched Stephen Anderson's video. He said something good. He posted a comment. But James Copeland's over at Thurmont called him up and said, "Brother, what are you doing posting on Stephen Anderson's website?" I said, "Thank God for Brother Copeland." I said, "Amen."
Amen.
And he said, "I don't know anything about the guy. I just thought he said something good." Brother Copeland, I said, "You'll be posting on his site. You're not coming here to preach." Amen. That's how the internet will help you. Amen. Delete, 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 delete. Undo, undo, undo.
Yeah.
I found out he had a list online of preachers that preach repentance.
Yeah.
I emailed. That stinking coward didn't respond to me. I said, "Sir, I would like you to add my name, Timothy McVeigh, to your name of preachers that preach repentance."
Amen.
And I'm sure he went, "Who are you, jerk?" But that's okay. I asked anyway. Internet preachers. Heroes. Our singers are heroes. Little girls' rooms, they got singers' posters on the wall like they used to do with rock bands. So I've seen that firsthand.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen it firsthand.
Right.
Man worshipers.
Yeah, right.
I knew boys, and by the way, their lives are destroyed today because of this contemporary movement. They just follow right along with the crowd. I knew boys today. They used to have their big time favorite preacher posters on their wall.
Right.
There's something wrong with that.
Right.
I said, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
We know some folks going on a little, and y'all just keep your mouth shut, okay? We know some folks going on a little missions trip over to Africa, and they got prayer cards made.
Right.
My niece said to me, "Do you want one of these prayer cards?" I said, "I've been in ministry 16 years. I ain't never had a prayer card."
Right.
Amen. I said, "Amen. I didn't pray 16 years. I ain't got a prayer card. Hey, if you don't think about praying for me, a card's not going to help you.
Right.
And you don't want my picture on your refrigerator anyway, so hush up about it." We follow this pattern. We don't follow God's pattern.
Right.
Yeah. We're not following God's pattern. God had a pattern in the heavens. He put that pattern on earth. We don't follow that pattern. We're following a man-made pattern. I like what Brother Harvey said. I'm going to correct something. He can say it, I can say it. Amen. Listen, I'm the physicist and the preacher. He's the pastor of the church over at Altman. He runs this camp. But he said what he said about me. I liked him from the get-go. And I said, "I'm going to make that man be my friend." I knew Brother Rose come over here and preach. So we come over here. Brother Rose invites us. We come over here before Brother Rose ever invited us. We come over here later on. Brother Rose invites us. Brother Harvey and I sat up there. We started talking. And I thought, you wouldn't happen. That big sucker all of a sudden, he's like, "You know what? I have to like this guy. I made him like me." Now, some of you I haven't done that for. I made him like, you know why? Because I liked him.
Amen.
Any man that goes to an Italian restaurant and orders three appetizers, I said, that's my cup of tea right there. Amen. Just, Sister Harvey, could you hold your ears or something? She says, "Preacher, behave up there at the restaurant." He goes, he's looking at the menu, goes, "She won't know." Amen. I'll just leave that alone. Amen. He knows now. Remember that whole thing about liking me? I might be out the window. Which pattern are you following? It's amazing. These guys preach on the old paths off their iPad.
Right.
Just throw that out there.
Yeah.
They preach on the old paths and they go get in their $90,000 F-350 and drive home.
Ooh.
I mean, let's be honest. What is old-timey? What is old-fashioned?
Right.
A mule? I'm just being honest with you. I don't call myself old-timey. I don't call myself old-fashioned. Amen. I just don't do that. I don't go around and copy that old redback hymnal, the old time way. And I don't think of it, that old redback hymnal, all them good Pentecostal Church of God songs that don't have eternal security. And I just said, did I take that? Doesn't bother me. I just go, okay, you know. And they sang them. And I'm going, I can't get on board with that. We're all timey up in here. Point two. But what pattern are you watching?
Right.
I'm gonna give you the quick version of the message tonight. It starts now. That was all part of the preface. That was all just part of the pre-preaching. Okay, we'll call it pre-preaching. That doesn't count, it's not against my time. Okay? But here is the message in Zechariah chapter 4. You say, Brother McVeigh, can you have this done in an hour? If you start now, yes. Absolutely. Man asked me one time, he said, Brother, can you preach 30 minutes? I said, I just about do every time I preach. This rare, except on the podcast, radio station, for the roaster, it's very rare I don't preach 30 minutes. It's very rare I preach 40 minutes. Amen. It's very rare I don't preach an hour. Hey, that's just who I am. Brother Rose talked about getting older, slowing down, all that. For the seats of newsflash, you have to preach 2 hours. I didn't even realize it. You know how I knew Brother Rose? My wife was back in the nursery because Liliana was pretty young. Nathaniel was just a baby still. I get back in the nursery, the lights are out, and everybody's gone. I go to the fellowship building, walk upstairs, the lights are off. I walk in the bed, my wife's sound asleep. I said, did I preach that long? She's like, huh? Just tell them the truth, daughter. If I can get Brother Harvey in trouble, I can get my wife in trouble. Zechariah, let me start in chapter 3. It'll be brief, I promise you. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, verse 7. If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and also shall keep my courts. I will give thee places to walk among thee that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at for. Behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be 7 eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. In verse 9 of chapter 4, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands also shall finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those 7. Notice this. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. What do we read in Revelation 5? 7 horns. Somebody help me out. 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God. They are the eyes of the Lord running to and fro through the whole earth.
That's right.
Amen.
Now all that fluff was just to say this. How are you avoiding God's eyes? Then why do you live like you live?
Right.
Amen.
7 eyes. 7 spirits of God. Going through the whole earth. And he saw it on a stone. And I'd explain that stone, but we'd just be here a while. And I don't want it to get that high on Monday night. Some of you wouldn't get it anyway. But if you did get it, it would change your life. Well, I'll give you a little hint who the stone is. Amen. That is that chief cornerstone.
Amen.
And that chief cornerstone are seven eyes. And those seven eyes are before the throne of God, the seven spirits of God, giving light into that candlestick, which is Jesus Christ. And those seven eyes are searching through the earth.
Yes.
I'll give you the reference in Proverbs 15 and 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place.
Right.
Beholding the evil and the good.
Yes.
God knows what you do in secret. God knows what you do in public.
That's right.
One of the greatest tragedies of our day in religion. And by the way, I don't preach politics because it doesn't matter.
That's right. Good.
Now, I'm going to say this about the state of Pennsylvania. We have a chance to put a governor in there that absolutely hates abortion.
Right. Yeah.
Let me just tell you, they think he's a crackpot. They hate him. And they do everything they can to try to get him out of office. And he probably is a crackpot, because I read his stuff and I like him, so he may be. But he's not going to change this state one bit.
Right.
But you can. I said, you can. You know why? Because you have the ability to influence that person next to you for Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But you know what the problem is? He appears so small to your neighbors. He appears so anemic to your neighbors and your friends and your family. Because you forget the eyes of the Lord in every place. Behold the evil, the good. You know what it takes to lose your testimony? As flies in the apothecary send forth a stinking savor, so doth the little folly in him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. One word, one act, one shame. You can destroy a lifetime of good work. So the Lord's eyes are upon us. He's upon every young person in this room who's beholding the evil and the good. So what do we do? What's the tragedy of this day? We redefine evil. And we call it good.
Right.
I personally... This is just me personally. I try to avoid churches that set the rhythm with instruments outside of stringed instruments. I don't like it. I don't like when I'm outside the building, they got a bass guitar popping and a whomping. And I don't care if it's a Southern thing, a West Virginia thing, or a New York thing. You're outside the building, you feel the walls pulsating.
Right. Yeah.
And you look. Now listen, you look. And you know what you see? You see hips moving.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's out of hell.
Sir.
I said, that's out of hell. When your body, listen, you clap your hands. Listen, you can rejoice. You can shout. You can run. You can leap. But people don't do that. They just stand there and groove. And I'm not going to be indecent. Thank God you're not behind me. But that's become normal.
That's right.
So what do? We mask it. With all of our rejoicing and happiness. Listen, I'm just going to talk about a pattern, okay? And I'm talking about patterns tonight. Stop if you've ever seen this pattern. One young lady, she's wicked, ungodly. She's under conviction about something. We don't know what it is. She runs down to the altar. And somebody goes, somebody pray with this girl. Well, that's 20 other young ladies come down. They all blow snot, they all run mascara, they leave pools of mascara all over the altar. They all hug, they all kiss, they all go back to their seats, and nothing has ever changed one time in their life.
Right.
But that's the pattern. Boy, God really met with us. Some fornicator sitting in the congregation, God's smiting his heart about his fornication, his pornography. He runs down to the altar, you young men, come pray with him. Now they don't cry as much.
hoping to have mascara. You got to worry nowadays. But what's changed? What's changed? So what happens? Because that song stirred us. Next week, let's try the same song again. A pattern. Because this work, let's try it again. A pattern. You know, God doesn't operate that way. God operates in holiness.
Yes.
I like what the preacher said this morning. I'm not just trying to toot his horn. I'm liking him less and less more as the week goes on. I'm not trying to toot his horn. You don't know who's in agreement with the Spirit of God.
That's right.
I don't count on anything. And I tell churches, I say, listen, I'm not going to drag your Bible in with me. It's not going to happen. I don't have revival tied to the bumper of my car. But I've gone to churches that were ready to receive.
Amen.
I said they were ready to receive.
Yes.
I've gone to churches that were no more ready to receive the Word of God. Amen. Than some hillybilly sitting in a bar drinking a Bud Light, dipping snuff, looking at lewd women. It's like a young man wanting to be married. I've watched it time and time again. As a man, I sit there looking at him, that boy's no earthly reason to get married. He's done nothing to prepare. He's a slob. He doesn't work. He's indifferent. He's lazy. He's ugly. And I've thought that pretty much about every young man I ever saw. Just throwing that out there. I told him that down there in Maryland a couple weeks ago. I think I said to the boy's mom. I looked at the boy and said, you're ugly. His mom got all offended. So I had to butter. I had to soften. I said, but all the boys are ugly. You just say amen on that.
Amen.
You never heard such knock. Some of the girls are like, I don't want to say that. And the guys are like, oh, I don't want to accuse myself. Boys are ugly things.
Right. Yeah.
But at least get a job. At least do something to prepare.
Yeah.
At least do something to get yourself ready.
Yeah.
And young ladies, listen, we're just talking about just some patterns, okay? You know what I love about my grandma? She's a grandma.
That's right.
You know how old my grandma is? I'll give you a hint. She got all the three fingers. A one, a zero, and a zero. Hold up your zero finger. Okay. Zero, zero, one. Okay. She's 100 years old. She looks 105. Notice this. Winifred, my goodness, you look a day or 89. Nobody says that to her. She looks 105. But she's a grandma.
That's right, man.
She looks like a grandma. She talks like a grandma. She smells like a grandma.
That's right.
I told a black Greek years ago, so he said, what does a grandma smell like? I said, cookie dough and apple pie. That's what a grandma smells like. Now, young lady, she said, what's the pattern? You following me yet?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I'd love to have a husband. Do you want a fat one or a skinny one? Now, Samantha cooks, and she's still got a skinny husband. I look at the days, it'll catch up with you. Don't worry. Amen.
We'll see.
You'll see. You'll see. Your dad said that one time. He's like, Bill, yeah, I was 135 pounds when I went to the Air Force. I said, well, you're not now. Follow the pattern. Now, I have a Bible for that. The older women teach the
younger. Yes, right.
Yes.
Now, can I tell you, young lady, something? Do you know why God told the older ladies to teach you young ladies how to love your own husbands? Because men are disgusting. You men, just help me out say amen. You know you're disgusting. Ladies, men are disgusting. My wife said, nobody told me men do these things. I'm sheltered. Amen. She goes, why does Nathaniel do that? I said, he's a man. That's why it's in his nature to do that. He's a boy. She's like, he's gross. He's a boy. I know Brother Vernon preaches against picking those and eating boogers. I don't. My children will get sick. You know that's the truth. But they got strong immune systems. And they're following the pattern. Only kind of luck, man. Hey, let's not talk about that pattern. Nothing prepares you. She's
church that they'll take those young ladies and they're teaching them. But the young ladies got to teach them. The young men got to teach them.
Yes. Right.
And then there's a pattern that's been established for them. Now, I'm a girl who's cook, clean, ready to be married, don't have a husband. Listen. I know some young men, I think probably, they know how to eat, work. Eat, work, they know how to do those things better. But they're probably ready to be married. Their legs.
But you know what the problem is? A lot of them don't fit a pattern that God has laid. They don't fit that pattern.
You know why? A lot of them just want laws.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Not many of them spiritual, let alone filled with spirit.
Right.
They're just absolutely hard.
Sir.
Living short term, living for today, no thought of tomorrow, no thought of the future, no thought of Jesus Christ. They woke up this morning without thinking about Jesus Christ. They'll go to bed tonight, except for the shower service, they won't have thought about Jesus Christ. They won't wake up and consider Jesus Christ in their life. They won't wake up and say good morning to Him in their heart and spend the rest of this day seeking after Him and searching Him out in the inward parts. They won't crack their Bible unless somebody tells them to. They won't pray unless somebody makes them because they don't have a desire for Him in their life.
Right.
Amen.
You're telling me right.
And to say this, that disqualifies you for being a good spouse.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Listen up. That disqualifies you from being a good spouse.
What was the pattern laid before you? Tell me my pattern was. My grandpa would get about 4 o'clock in the morning. That was devotion time with the Lord. He'd bring my grandmother about 5:30. She'd make his oatmeal. You listening? I better repeat that. She'd make his oatmeal. You said, didn't he know how to do it? No. I bought a house from a man, he's 83 years old, his name is Lynn. He's 83 years old. He said, my wife died 2 years ago in a car accident suddenly. He said, I found myself one day standing in front of the washing machine. He said, I had no idea how to use that. I had to go call my daughter. She had to come over here and show me how to use the washing machine. And I said, well, was there anything else? He goes, well, I learned how to use that one burner on the stove. He goes, I'd make Campbell soup for Sue Snow to go to the restaurant. Well, that's what the restaurant, 3 meals a day. How do you like that? That's all right, isn't it?
Amen.
I said, that's all right, isn't it? Sam, you can shout, amen.
Amen.
Hey, listen, I've only performed one wedding ceremony in the last 7-8 years. It's worked out okay. Amen. They made it 2 years this past week. Thank the Lord for that.
Yeah.
And maybe next year we'll celebrate. I did one other ceremony, but I don't really remember it very much, okay? I was on hydrocodone because of an impacted tooth and stabbing pain. And he said, I just kept repeating myself over and over and over again. Amen. I don't care. Am I getting down there? It's working out. I haven't talked to him lately. Okay, they're doing it. So I'm 2 for 2. So you want to get married? I'm talking to him. Amen. I'm doing pretty good so far. What the pattern has been set for most people is laziness, indifference. But you know the greatest pattern of all? Bitterness between mom and dad.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what most young people have to deal with.
Yes.
You ladies, listen to me. If you fight with your husband, I want you ladies to listen to me. It is your fault.
Okay, say amen or not. You know those ornaments of grace were around Sarah's neck? Meek, quiet, spirit. If he's a jerk, tell my wife the same thing. I'll answer to God. Usually by the time we get there, I say it strongly than that. Hush up!
answer to God for what I say.
Just being honest, being transparent, you want to pretend?
Oh, I love you, W. Oh.
Where's your meek and quiet spirit, woman?
Amen. She goes, aren't you supposed to have meekness too? I'm like, no! You know the pattern most our young people deal with? God of hell.
That's right.
Yeah. They don't know the pattern.
Right.
You know the sad thing in most churches today, they don't have anybody else with them.
Yeah.
Right.
I want to thank God. Preacher said, count your blessings. I want to thank God for this godly people God's put in my life.
Right.
There are many. I'm going to give roses while they're living. That's awkward. Listen, I was unmarried. I'd see Brother Rose and his wife. I'd see Brother Rose taking Rebecca out and waylay her. I'd go, man, one of these days, maybe God will give me a daughter I could meet. You think I'm joking? Listen, at least once every 7 minutes early on. But one time I had to move. I was like, I can't sit behind the roses. That's too distracting. They said, look, it's like a revolving door. You laugh, Grace. I've seen you go out. And Grace, I'm just going to get away with that. I always appreciate an example of how to treat your wife.
That's right.
I mean,
amen.
You hang out in the furnace, go to church, go to meetings. Now listen, don't get upset with us. We were newlyweds, me and my wife, Zach and Amber, were newlyweds. We pull over on the side of the road, drive down the interstate, pull up next to each other, give them a big old smooch. We'd be at the restaurant, give each other a big old smooch. But Dave and Sister Stephanie would get on. We go to the restaurant, sitting there at the table, smooching our wives, waitresses, waiters, weird out people. They hate that today. But it sounded like sitting over there cussing, mad. Amen. By the way, if I see them, I'll still be kissing on my wife.
Yeah, man.
Amen.
That's right.
We're walking through the parking lot. I just said, hey, listen, I'm not being dirty. Amen. That's my wife. Amen.
That's right.
Every once in a while, I'll go ahead and pat her on the behind. And she gets embarrassed about it. Don't you get she's embarrassed now about it. But I love, you know why I can do that and be clean about it? Because she's my wife and I love
right.
her. So Brother Vernon said, you know, I'm going to love my wife a little bit. He just went, hey, massage his wife a little bit. Jack's wife don't weigh but 90 pounds. He knocked her in the next week. He said, good night, son. You're about to kill your wife. She's hurt and back on the shore. I had people set patterns for me.
That's right.
I also had some people set some pretty horrible patterns for me.
Yeah.
Patterns of destruction. You listen. Patterns of booze, fornication, pornography, filth, lying, stealing, covetousness. You know what the cool thing is when I was in high school? This is going to sound ridiculous to some of you. Shoplifting was the cool thing. They were selling stuff out of their lockers. They were pilfering from the store. They're prepping. Come on, let's go to Kmart. We'll steal CDs. And I had just enough church. I said, I can't do that. Just enough church. So I didn't shop with them. I just became a thief. I'm very well aware that everybody hates the thief. I said, everybody hates the thief. Liar. God hates liars. He's going to damn liars.
Yes.
Yeah. He's going to send them to hell.
Yes.
What pattern do you follow?
You know, I said a lot about music. Because I see a pattern of godlessness. I see a pattern following Antichrist worship. They sing songs today, I'm going to look up the lyrics, I'm going, I don't even know what this means.
Yeah.
It has a hook.
Right.
It has something that you're trying to get you to shout or get you to cry. It has a hook in the middle of it. Listen, I was a pro wrestler. I know a lot of things about the entertainment business, whether you think I do or not. I know what it takes to entertain. It's called hook. And then we can go, blah, 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 blah. And the dog was in the ditch all bloody. And the children rescued him. It was like, oh, that's a beautiful song. I love that song so much. Oh, we got to share that with all of our friends.
I give you the lyrics you're going to sing that morning. Genesis 2. And your emotions stir without God.
Yes,
sir. When's the last time God stirred your emotion without the problem?
Right.
What's the last time God made you good to listen, good and angry with yourself? That's a good and angry with yourself.
Right.
When's the last time you got good and angry with you?
Right.
The Rogue said it best and worst ever. I've known him for 16 years. I know he's the worst ever. I've known him. He didn't have to tell me. I knew that. Pretty simple thing. Somebody wouldn't get that. Because I'm my own worst ever. When's the last time you wept over you?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
So, fella, listen, I've got to be lenient. I've got to be kind. Fella, years ago, I heard him preach. It was all just hyped up. And got an emotional invitation. By the way, the work of hell today, so many times, has done the invitation.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's an emotional stirring word of God. Mm-hmm. Preach an absolutely powerless message with no touch of God, no liberty, and then go. Sarcastic. Some of you ladies start crying.
Yeah.
When I thought the little bloody footprints through the snow, and how that mama lugged that coffin up that bloody hillside, lowered that coffin to the ground and laid there for 2 days, almost starved to death. And God said, crows to bring her corn and save her life. And her other son, 2 years old, put a warm wool blanket over her back. He said, I love you, mommy. Now, if God's touched your heart, come on, God, come on.
That's right. Yeah, come on, you're right.
Powers. If you listen to me, powers.
That's right.
Powers. See, God can't move
to you. Right.
His eyes walk down these pews, beholding the evil and the good, knowing the evil in the heart, knowing the good in the heart. But God can't move us. We need a song. I don't play the guitar, but I play the air guitar. This will move some of you. You get a line, I'll get a pole, honey. You get a line, I'll get a pole, babe. There's people here that are drunk, scoping, read. Man, they're by their effect, but I mean, they want to shout, they want to fish it. Woo, glory! You get a yee-haw, hey. Where's God?
That's right, right.
What pattern do you follow?
It's good.
What's the pattern of your life? You girls got good models. Oh, God forbid. God forbid you step outside that pattern.
Yes.
And I'm not demanding perfection from your models either. God save you, mom. David, God saved your mom, David. Thank God for that. I'm doing this with
you. Amen. Praise God.
Hey.
Yes.
Right. See, when God saved your mom, all about 3 weeks ago.
Great. Great.
Thank
God. See, how do you know? Because everybody says, oh, well, what a difference.
Yeah.
There's a pattern.
Yeah.
I used to tell people, I'm like Charles Barkley. I'm not a role model. They say that. How foolish. I better be. I said, I better be. And a little boy runs around between my legs and tries to tackle me and everybody else under the sun and tries to beat your kids up. He needs a role model.
Yes.
He needs a pattern.
That's right.
My little girl needs a pattern. Listen. Now listen, this is not condescending. My mother-in-law sitting here. It makes it hard to preach sometimes. about half an illustration I can't use when she's here. I tell my wife sometimes, you act like your mother. And she was sad, I don't tell that when I'm mad. You act like your mother. But you know what, she acts like your mother a lot. But a lot of times I don't compliment her. I said, love not that compliment at all. I said, how do you act like the love?
It's good.
That's a good thing.
Yes, yeah. I am.
I can't act like my dad.
Well, I can't.
I don't have a pattern. God's produced godly men, some of you have just made it my life to give you that pattern. A lot of young people are following, your friends, YouTube stars, cool hip preachers.
Yeah.
Now look in the right place. You should not look to Jesus Christ.
Right.
Had a whole different message applied. Us chapter. There's that too. It's driving the captain. If you wonder about that, this verse means temperament.
Then it's not my wife, you.
Stores, got ebay.com/Fullerton4, 699, 22, okay? Right there, I'm just joking about that, okay? I told him one place, he got nervous about the dog series, say, what's your pattern?
It's good, preacher.
I don't want to single you out, so I'm not going to stand. She didn't have a real good pattern. God's brought her to business people.
Yes, sir.
I watched that young couple change.
Wonderful, man.
First time Stephen walked into church. I don't know if I said it out loud or not. I think I actually said, nice to meet you, Mr. Lennon. You look like a cover of the 1976 Beatles album. God saved you.
Amen.
Hold the bridge.
Amen.
See the house of God. Mm-hmm. You know why? God did it happen.
Amen.
Now this whole time you thought talking about your mom and dad, didn't I? Don't know that happened in heaven, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I can call that earthly pattern so long, but eventually that was the promise.
Yes.
Until you see Christ, you call that earthly pattern.
Amen.
Now listen, I'm going to say some of these kind of things. You ladies, you have yourself at this heart. You see Christ, okay?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray for you, okay? Pray. Until you see Christ, push yourself under his God.
Yes. Amen.
Go to Brother Andy's house and get fed for free. Andy, listen, you can't beat a free meal. All you gotta do is say, well, hey, can I come help with some things? She can be in the kitchen for 4 hours by the time you get it. Listen, I'm an angel, so I know how these things work. The problem is to enamor everybody but gospel.
Yeah. Amen.
So our music stinks, our life stinks.
It's why our relationship with the Lord is non-existent. It's why there's no power with God in young people's lives today. Would be to God see some young men raised up in a pattern of holiness, godliness.
Would God see some of these young ladies raised up in a pattern of godliness?
Yes.
Holiness. Until they see Jesus Christ.
Yes.
They see that candlestick burn bright.
Yes.
Yes. They can say, I'm going to follow that pattern.
Yep. Yep.
Be Christ-like. Jason. Just for you. Seven blue dog nine. You say, what is that? That'd be one of the questions tomorrow, possibly. If you note takers, that's about the only thing that makes sense in this whole message. That's the hard way I'm done.